Welcome to Press TV's special coverage of the revolution in Bahrain, taking a look at the situation as it stands at the moment. A leading human rights activist has been released after appearing before a military court. Now, president of the Bahrain Center for Human Rights, Nabil Rajab, was freed just hours after appearing before prosecutors. Now, reports say that Bahraini regime has stepped up its campaign of intimidation against rights activists. Bahrain's Justice Ministry has warned that the authorities will not ease pressure on anti-government protesters. This is the country is looking set to remove the state of emergency soon. To discuss the situation a bit further, we're being joined by Professor Rodney Shakespeare. He's the chairman of the Committee Against Torture in Bahrain. Professor Shakespeare, many thanks for joining us here on Press TV. Now, Bahraini regime is pushing for normalcy, at least giving a sort of an outlook of that. The Bahraini king has called for dialogue after we have reports that the pressure and the campaign of intimidation against rights activists has increased in these days. What do you make of it?
The killer caliph's dream of a Bahrain, which is a modern financial center with that little extra frisson of danger which comes from Formula One racing, and a place where people will come for a weekend or a week's rest and recreation. But the reality is that the economy has gone down the tubes and cannot recover, because everybody knows that somewhere around about 97-98% of the population despise and hate the present regime. The regime is therefore trying in desperation to do what it can to create a normal situation. Now, it's had an idea. But when it comes to ideas, they're not very good. I mean, if you look at a line of light bulbs, the light bulb which is not quite as bright as the other will be the caliph light bulb. But their idea is that they can get bits of paper. And when these pieces of paper have been signed, then everything will go back to normal and the economy will recover and their dreams will be fulfilled. So they're dealing with the nurses and getting the nurses to sign bits of paper saying that when patients were brought into hospital, the nurses put their hands into the wounds and ripped the flesh apart. This is the way they're trying to cover up the fact that they've been using dum-dum bullets. And now look at the situation with Nabil Rajab. He has been left relatively free. His family has been terrorized. And the reaction on the children, well, we won't go into that. It's disgraceful. But he has been left free, and the reason was that they wanted someone with whom they could negotiate. And the idea of the killer caliphs of negotiation is roughly that of a crocodile with a turtle. And so they put him into court, and they have said, you will negotiate with us, and you will agree with us, and if you don't, we will kill you. And then they have released him. And that is the scene in Bahrain at this moment. On the one hand, they're having to say we're going to release the military rule and the military law because the Bahraini economy has simply collapsed and everybody knows it and normalcy cannot come back. On the other hand, they've got to, according to their lights, which are not very, very bright, they think they can produce normalcy by forced confessions of, say, on the nurses, by forced statements of loyalty from the students, and in particular by getting a leader like Nabil Rajab to agree that everything is hunky-dory and that he agrees with the present setup. And believe it or not, the caliphs actually think with a pile of documents like this, they can go to the United Nations and say, there you are, it's all over, we were right all along. Well, they are wrong. When you have tortured and when you have killed, you cannot negotiate. Negotiation takes place between equals. It never takes place between a crocodile and a turtle. So Nabil Rajab is a brave man, but it doesn't really matter whether he signs or doesn't sign, because everybody knows the truth that the killer caliphs are now in a desperate situation in which they're making complete fools of themselves. And I make a prophecy. although the situation is grim with torture and misery, the jokes will now be starting because everybody now knows that the caliphs are making themselves ridiculous by this idea that by false statements and false confessions, you can convince anybody that the place has come back to normalcy and that you can, in fact, get the place working properly because you've got a whole stack of false confessions. The jokes are going to start, and I think the caliphs will pay the price of being sneered at and laughed at, apart from the fact that they're also a bunch of vicious thugs, of course. But once the jokes start, that is going to be the end for them. But before they get to the end, it's going to be very, very nasty indeed as they try and impose their idea of normalcy in a way which everybody knows is utterly impossible.
All right, I'd like to bring in political commentator Ralph Shonman from Berkeley into this conversation. Mr. Shonman, thanks for joining us here on Press TV. Now, this call for dialogue on the part of Sheikh Hamad bin Isa al-Khalifa comes as President Obama called on both the government and the opposition in Bahrain to engage in a dialogue. This while he referred to the Bahraini regime as a friend and a partner of the U.S. How far is this a call for dialogue going to go? Does this come too little too late?
The dialogue is entirely cosmetic. It has no root in any prospect of transforming the dictatorship or the terrorizing of its population. With respect to Nabil Rajab, he has been explicit in every respect about what is being done to him and to his family and to the people of Bahrain. Quote, the dawn of May 21st, 2011, specifically, during our sleep at 3:15 a.m., our home was attacked by security forces for the second time in a row. This time it was different. The tear gas bombs were not thrown by hand, but fired by weapons through our windows. The bombs shattered the windows, and packs entered the apartment of my brother Nadir Rajab. This is attempted murder, exposing my family to suffocation during sleep. The attack intends to silence me and terrorize my family, to pressure me to stop carrying out my duties and human rights activities. It's a long statement. It's a precise statement. It's a detailed statement. There isn't a scintilla of evidence to suggest that Nabil Rajab is considered as a partner in negotiation with this regime. He is a passionate and ardent opponent of every aspect of its repression, and he doesn't lose a moment or a day to articulate this reality and to document what has been done to the people and to the doctors and to the wives of the doctors who are doctors themselves and to their families. I think it's important to note that the Guardian and Observer on May 28th published an important article called United Kingdom Training Saudi Forces to Crush Arab Spring. And specifically, the Ministry of Defense was cited as having prepared and trained the Saudi attack forces for Bahrain. Defense Minister Nick Harvey confirmed to Parliament last week that the United Kingdom's armed forces are training the Saudi National Guard deployed in Bahrain, training that had been provided by the British military mission for some time. Jonathan Edwards, applied Cymru MP, who has tabled parliamentary questions to the Ministry of Defense about its close ties to Saudi Arabia, found it difficult to understand why Britain is training and preparing troops for repressive action in Bahrain and in the region. The role of the United States and Great Britain in using the Wahhabi attack forces in Bahrain is explicit and documented beyond any doubt. Again, with respect to the Guardian and Observer, quote, a chilling account of the brutal clampdown sweeping Bahrain. Mahmoud, who lives near Bahrain's capital, tells how Saudi soldiers wage a campaign of sectarian violence. Life in the Shia villages and suburbs of the capital, Manama, has been nonstop intimidation, violence, and threats. Even trying to move around in normal waves is life-threatening. I live in one of the villages near Manama. One night I parked in front of my father-in-law's house and walked towards the door. 50 armed and masked thugs, not in security uniform, appeared from one of the village lanes pointing their shotguns at me. It's a detailed account of what has been described over and over again by eyewitnesses. I want to just mention at this point that the doctors and their families and their wives are subject to the most horrendous treatment, detention, disappearance, and torture. I received a communication 2 days ago from the wife of one of the doctors describing this reality. I want to share my concerns and feelings with you. I know if he goes to trial from the female doctors who were released from jail that medics are being forced to give false confession under torture. These are filmed by Bahrain TV. These videotaped confessions are put on TV after the trial. The children are suffering at school. N just cries without talking. Sarah faces everyday humiliations from her mates. H, 8 years old, lives in fear for himself and his father. That's the daily reality of this barbarous repression that is supported and sponsored by the U.S., enacted by the security forces, the shock troops of the Wahhabi dictatorship in Saudi Arabia, and taking as hostage the people of Bahrain, the women doctors, the physicians, the medical profession itself.
Right. I'd like to pick up on the point you just made, Mr. Shonman, regarding Britain providing training to Saudi troops. What's interesting is that in The Independent also reports that Britain continued to train Bahraini army officers at Sandhurst months after the Persian Gulf state began its brutal crackdown on pro-democracy demonstrators. Professor Shakespeare, do you find it at all surprising that links had been kept up with the Bahraini regime by Britain despite the violence in Bahrain?
The purpose of the support is for the regime and not for the country. In Saudi Arabia, the British train the National Guard, which is those troops who are charged with protecting the regime. And you must distinguish between the regime and the country. Britain has always supported these ghastly, totalitarian, torturing regimes. And it's part of a deal that we support them in exchange for their support for Israel. And Israel controls American foreign policy. We've got a situation now, of course, where Israel just treats Obama. Israel is so in charge of American foreign policy that it can give a V-sign to President Obama and tell him that there's never going to be an independent Palestine, there's never going to be a withdrawal back to the 1967 border lines. So what it's all about is that we, the UK and the USA, actually support the regimes. And we support the regimes to crush and brutalize the people. Now, if I could refer to something which Ralph said. He referred to the use of tear gas, which was affecting the children of Nabil Rajaf. And we know that the Saudi perverts get their kicks from beating up young girls. And they're all a disgusting lot of swine. They really are the lot of them. And my country, my prime minister, shakes hands with a sniggering, smirking crown prince. Now, it was this crown prince who first had the idea of, in fact, of negotiation. And his first negotiation, it was about 2 months ago, took place with the Chamber of Commerce. And 60 of them were summoned to a room. And for 1 hour, the crown prince hectored them and shouted at them. And nobody said a word, whereupon the crown prince turned round and walked out of the room. You see, that's his idea of negotiation. Is that you do what he says, you've got no independent existence, you've got no rights. And that's what they're now trying to do. They are trying to, in fact, to force a negotiation through which will have a fig leaf of respectability given by some statements which will be forced out of some of the leaders or maybe not be forced out. But either way, the reality is the population despise these perverts and these killers. And it's all disgusting. And I despise my prime minister, who has stood up. He's going to regret the day when he stood on the number 10 Downing Street and shook hands with a torturer and a killer. And as for the Americans, they have betrayed democracy. They have betrayed democracy. And at least there are some people in the State Department who realize this. And I'm going to speak directly to those people and say, America has betrayed democracy. Why doesn't it now betray these perverts and these killers? The only way that America could redeem its position, it's now hated throughout the Middle East, but the only way they could redeem this situation is to turn around and betray the Caliphs and to betray the Saudis. And I recommend that they do it. As for the Caliphs, I can tell them straight, they will get nowhere by this idea that you can force confessions and that you can force agreements with people like Nabil Rajaf. If you want to go any way forward, you should start by releasing the prisoners. You should start by paying compensation to those you've tortured and killed. You should announce immediately free and fair elections. You should apologize, and you should put the Pearl back into Pearl Square. And unless you're prepared to do that, the whole world knows that you are frauds, and your economy has collapsed and will stay collapsed forever. You've lost your dreams, and you are scum.
All right, Mr. Shonman, all eyes are on the lifting of the state of emergency in Bahrain. I would like to get your opinion on this. What do you see transpiring once the state of emergency is lifted? Because we do know that the regime has stepped up its campaign of intimidation and repression. Would you say it has succeeded in effectively quelling this revolution?
Well, the first thing I would like to say is that the human rights movement in Bahrain has already announced new massive demonstrations planned for the 1st of June. The population, although barbarously treated and repressed, is not intimidated. No, I do not think that this lifting of the state of emergency is more than, a paper act on the part of the authorities. They will be as repressive as before, but they will not succeed in stopping the resistance on the part of the population. Let me emphasize that the trade union movement of Bahrain, the General Federation of Trade Unions of Bahrain, which represents 71 unions and 60 organizations, had organized and implemented a general strike. And there was a massive repression, which is still ongoing against the workers. I'm going to read from a communication from one of the leaders of the trade union movement. The movement was not sectarian. It united people inspired by the Arab Spring in Tunisia and in Egypt. Shia and Sunni and secular forces were involved in this movement. Now 2,500 workers in the private and public sector have been sacked and are being hunted because of their political opinions. Employers and contractor jobs and shops are closed and punished because of their sect and political opinion. The most democratic and independent trade union movement in the region is being deconstructed by firings and detentions and disappearances of our union leaders. Strikes are banned by ministerial order in 15 sectors, most of which are not even essential according to international labor standards. Many hundreds of university students have disappeared. Others have been deprived of their fellowships because they are Shia or because they have taken part in rallies at embassies. It's a long and detailed accounting of the nature of the repression, the way it has targeted union activists and the trade union movement itself, the working population at large, and it is a declaration of defiance and of resistance coming from the leaders of the trade union movement, as from the Center for Human Rights, as from the doctors, as from the women who have been targeted. I want to emphasize that the Ahlul Bayt news agency, on the 31st of May, Bahrain has been abusing female doctors. Female doctors released have told Agence France-Presse they were abused and tortured at the hands of interrogators in detention centers across Bahrain. Women said they were forced under severe beatings and abuse to confess to backing co-religionist protesters. They were made to testify against colleagues at Salmania Hospital under torture. Agence France-Presse tried unsuccessfully to get an official response to these statements. There were claims of continuous sexual harassment. It is a report today on the ongoing abuse of female Shia doctors, of women who have been resisting this repression in general. The population has not acquiesced, and I would want to emphasize again and in these reports, what comes through loud and clear is that children are being targeted. Children have been shot, and when taken into the hospitals and treated, the armed forces and the security forces invade those hospitals and remove these children from their hospital beds. Their families have then been given back the bodies, and they are eviscerated. They are sewn up from the navel to the throat. And as reported by Finian Cunningham in the Irish Times and reports that I've written in press in the United States, they are following the Israeli example of harvesting and marketing the organs of the children. This is a measure of the vicious character of the Al-Khalifa dictatorship in Bahrain,
right,
and the unbridled steps it's prepared to take to torment and to suppress this population and their aspirations for democratic control and freedom in Bahrain.
Right. I'd like to just get one more question in very quickly, if I may, with Professor Shakespeare. Now, both of you gentlemen are in unison that this revolution is not dying down. But what further steps do you see after the lifting of the state of emergency being taken by the Bahraini regime and its ally, the Saudi Arabia? Very quickly, if you can, please.
Right. The lifting of the emergency is only being stated because they realize the economy is going down. As Ralph says, the emergency is not going to be lifted. They're going to get even more vicious, and the world is going to come to see that, I'm afraid. They are using, not only taking the organs from the bodies of the children, they are using dum-dum bullets, and that is what they're trying to hide. The whole thing has become perverse and corrupt on an inconceivable scale, but the indomitable character of the Bahraini people will prevail and is prevailing.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. That was the chairman of the Committee Against Torture in Bahrain, Professor Rodney Shakespeare, joining us from London. Also joining us on the line from Berkeley was Ralph Shonman, political commentator there. Gentlemen, many thanks indeed for your insights here on Press TV.